I'd like to go ahead and call this meeting to order, 3:35 PM on January 18th, 2017. I'd like to take roll call, Denise Westbrook.
Susie Mitchell.
Patricia Oliphant.
Jennifer Scott.
Debbie Fees.
Julia Martner.
Chris Moody.
Andrea Rogers.
Shanta Wilkinson.
Steve Burke.
Alan Stafford.
Joseph Shaw from Sussex Academy. You know those football players always say where they're from?
Chris Benjy.
From Seaford. Thank you.
Seaford, hi.
Andrea, thank you for disseminating the minutes from November 16th, which seems like an eon ago.
High school.
Lauren Wisely just walked in.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Lauren.
Hello.
Come sit here instead of in front of the pizza.
That's her spot.
Could I have a motion to accept the minutes?
I make a motion to accept the minutes.
Jen Scott, could I have a second?
A second.
Benjamin. Okay, any changes to the minutes? Noting that there are no changes. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Student government.
So, in terms of fundraising, the student government is hosting its second dodgeball tournament. Last year, we had one, it raised almost $1,000, so that will go to benefit the tournament. We are also holding a gift card drive where families are bringing in $10 gift cards and putting them all in a basket, and we are auctioning it off for prom.
Are you still accepting gift cards?
Yes.
Until when?
Next Wednesday, maybe?
Okay, which is the 25th?
25th, yep.
Leo Club is we are hosting another Jeans Day next Friday on the PLC Day. This month's profits will go to the Polar Bear Plunge.
Go where?
Polar Bear Plunge.
Nice.
And then next.
Special Olympics.
And then next month's goes to Leukemia and Lymphoma Society.
Nice.
The high school drama class put on Wizard of Oz last week. We had a college student panel where different students who are somehow related to Sussex Academy came and answered our questions. That was last week, so nice.
Of note, the Wizard of Oz, the word on the street, it was excellent.
It was.
Yeah, I heard it was fabulous.
It was really, really, really good.
So creative.
It was student directed too.
It's great, all student done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's great.
I think auditions for Beauty and the Beast, the musical that we're doing in the spring, are in the next couple of weeks. So, good things to come.
Excellent.
That's about it.
Thank you. Wonderful, thank you so much.
Why don't we follow?
Fast swimmer.
She comes the 500 of relays ahead of everybody else.
Your change host came in, or maybe went back in? She's got another.
Who?
Oh, how about that? Okay, I was wondering.
Well.
Okay, can we just, because there's a good segue.
Thank you.
I think, can we move this around a little, and in terms of college reports, Debbie Fees, I asked Debbie as a board member, but really more Debbie, not Debbie as a board member to give this report, but Debbie as our academic counselor, to talk a little bit about the events that we've been, she has organized and orchestrated and what have you, and where we are with college applications and what we know. So, Debbie, all yours.
So, hold on one sec. Can you announce yourself?
Ana Vargas.
Nothing like calling you out, I'm sorry.
You should expect that from Jen.
So we have 38 seniors. Currently, 36 of those 38 have submitted applications to colleges. The other two, trust me, I am breathing down their necks, but they have deadlines in February, so they are still on track. Of the 36 that have applied, 39% already have have been admitted to one or more of the colleges they have applied to. We had six students apply early action, half of which were admitted, half of which were deferred to the regular pool, which is not so uncommon with early action. Early decision, we had six early decisions. That's the one that's binding. So if they get in on early decision, they have to go. Of those six, five got in, and one was deferred to early to the regular pool.
Great.
And the one that was deferred to the regular pool was a very, 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 very selective college. So, yeah. Of our 38 seniors, we are at 66% completion of the FAFSA, which is the financial aid form they have to fill out. And tonight we're having the second FAFSA completion workshop. Here got postponed from last week, so I'm hoping those numbers will rise steadily. But the April 15th is the seed scholarship deadline, so they need to have that done for sure by then if they want to use seed money.
Is it recommended that every family complete a FAFSA?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Whether they have financial need or not, because you can get merit scholarships with FAFSA. We have, of the students that have been admitted, it's 13 different schools that they've been admitted to. And there is a post wall right outside the entrance to the main office on the cafetorium side, where every time I get wind of another admittance, I put the school's logo up on that board. But most notably, we have, Rochester Institute, Washington College, BU, NYU Stern School of Business, Pitt, Lafayette, Catholic, and then some other smaller colleges as well. And that's just our early pool. I mean, the kids that have applied to MIT and Princeton and Cornell, you know, their deadlines were January 1, so we won't hear back until mid-March, early April about those decisions. Mm.
So how many of the 38 children are in a college?
Right now it is 14.
Julia mentioned that there's a college panel that came in 2 weeks ago.
Yes, it's Friday.
Yeah, and it was really amazing and nice for our students to hear from mainly former students about their experience in college and to be able to ask them questions, because even though some of us around the table had similar experiences in college, the color of our hair, they don't want to look at us. It was interesting to hear these kids, you know. One of the suggestions was, before you go to college, put everything you think you're going to take with you in one room, and then go in and reduce it by half. Because the dorm rooms are so small.
Yeah.
He's at Princeton.
There you go.
That's great.
Good job.
Anything else, Debbie, do you think?
I have scheduled two college nights for underclassmen parents, primarily sophomores and juniors. And I'm still continuing to go into junior classes once a month to keep them fresh with what they should be doing progressing forward.
That's great.
Yeah.
Are we having success in getting college representatives from their admissions office down to talk to your people?
Well, that season is pretty much ended. So they're in the reading season now, not the visiting season. So, but I have had a lot of, like when I call colleges to advocate for students, I get a very warm reception and they want to know more about us and they're pretty impressed with the profile that we've put forth.
My daughter is going to Brown University this summer. She was accepted to do a summer program there. And I was really impressed by the fact that the admissions office there knew about Sussex Academy, which to me, we're on the map. I don't know why, but it's great. I mean, it's, you know.
We've had students visit there.
Mm-hmm.
It helps.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the kids are great. I can't take all the credit. You know? I just push and smush and, yeah. It looks better on a college application than smush.
The
Thanks.
Thank you, Dana.
Sure.
As most of you know, we moved into today's lottery. We had today's lottery. We had, I did a quick count. We maybe had about 75 attendees. In terms of our sixth grade lottery pool, we had 243 youngsters in the sixth grade lottery pool. We had 50 of those 243. We had 55 were preference kids, either employee or sibling, and it was generally sibling preference. As you know, for the record, also the whole idea with sibling preference is to get the family, okay, keep families, you know, together in one school. So that was on grade six. On grade nine, we had 40 applicants. We've got four siblings of other students, you know, of other students already in the school. It's, you know, we'll have to see. March 17th is the deadline when students' parents have to let us know if they're coming back.
How many preferences do we have?
It was seven.
Seven.
Can I ask you a question about that, the seven? I noticed those first two were from Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
We have to ask your permission to get them here. It's a teacher, and the teacher lives in Maryland, and so you're going to have to give us permission to legally to allow that. We did have a Maryland teacher last year. She has a child here, and we talked about it last year.
Yeah.
We did allow the child.
So we have a precedent for doing for allowing if it's a teacher.
But it brings no income into us. There's no income. No income. I'm not asking you to act on that today. I'm just not asking you to act on that today.
So our new receptionist, Ann, is verifying the results right now, so when we're done the meeting, I can post them to the website. I'll make sure I didn't make any mistakes. My number.
Hey, when did Ann start?
Before Christmas.
Andrea, when did you?
2 weeks before the holiday, I think.
Right now,
she's
like 18 days, I think.
She's part time, and she what basically does she work? What hours, Andrea?
7 to 12.
8 to 1.
No.
Yeah, 8 to 1.
5 hours a day.
Yeah.
Except today, we asked her to work so somebody would be there manning the telephone. Very lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that concludes our report on the lottery. Homeland Security, I didn't know if you noticed when you walked in the front, if you walked in the front door today, you'll see a sticker, new sticker there, and it's a Homeland Security sticker that verifies that we have passed or
met the requirements in terms of all of the plans. Emergency plans are in place, and we did the various ones that are required each year. You know, tabletop drill and other drills you're required to do each year. So
as we, there may be other drills this year, so we just want to let you know that we're doing those safety drills that we need to comply with. And that we're in compliance, because it's an important thing in terms of our charter about being in compliance.
Trish, a question for you.
Yes.
Seems like a lot of places now, schools and so forth, are having a drill on active shooter, i.e. there is a shooter in the school. What do you do? Are we doing that?
That's called a
hard lockdown.
And we haven't done that one yet.
We are going to do it this year,
and
Steve Oscar, who this year took over our safety plan, planning and safety, whatever, for the school, is going to invite the police department to come in when we do that, because we do have some problematic rooms where it's hard to get out of view of the door. We have taken measures. You see there's a magnet hanging on the door side. That goes over the lock, so you can keep your door locked, but if kids go out to the bathroom, they don't have to come and knock to get back in. So you just, when it's in place over the
that white thing?
Yeah, it goes where the strike plate would be, I guess, okay. Is what it's called. Mm-hmm. So it, and when it's in place, the door is locked, but you can still open it. You just pull the magnet out, and now you're secure. Mm-hmm. So each of the rooms that need that have that. The ones in the middle school don't have that need.
You mean, do they actually bring, like, a pretend shooter in?
No.
Okay.
No, they just...
No, nope. We just announced that it's a hard lockdown. And the kids and the teachers know what to do. They get all the kids out of the view of these doors because of the big windows. And we have some problematic areas that we want, like the library.
Right.
Where would the police suggest that those kids go?
The other thing, if for instance, that drill would typically have any kind of police dog, and they want to bring that dog in, we would allow that. Mm-hmm. But that also means that no kids are, they can't be in the halls. In other words, when they do those kinds of drills, you can't move the kids. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. The other thing I wanted to make you aware, in your packet dated in the header January 2nd, 17, you'll see a copy of preliminary calendar of activities for charter renewal. And so we have begun, at least internally, looking at charter renewal. We are doing activities relative to curriculum and instruction, and in our PLCs, and also with our team leaders meetings and with in-service. So this outlines for you what we are going to be doing between now and the summer. In particular, becomes important to us internally because we have to have our request for the charter renewal in by September 30th. So anything that we have to get teachers to do in preparation has to be done when they leave here in June. Consequently, you'll notice in October they begin public meetings on the charter. Those of you that have been through the charter renewal, you submit the application. There are public meetings held where people can come in and comment on your charter, et cetera, et cetera.
Where are they held?
In Dover at
the cabinet.
The cabinet room at the Department of Education.
Is that a place where we would want a lot of support there?
I think it depends. We definitely, okay, the answer to the question is we definitely want 3 or 4 or 5 people there, okay? We're going to have a good idea of what this is going to look like.
Excuse me.
Okay? We definitely have to have people there. Mm-hmm. In the past, we haven't had, had ourselves there.
Was it? In 2012, I think, was there, whenever we got the charter for the high school.
But we haven't had to have, like, a contingency of people.
In yellow t-shirts.
We haven't had to. If, okay, and again, the charter renewal process has been modified, not to be a bad thing, but remember that we have our, remember our performance reports, mm-hmm. academic, financial, and organizational? So what will happen prior to this is that they will come, they being the Department of Education, is coming down on April the 25th. You'll see on this, it says site visit. They will come down and they will have an interview with us. We haven't been through this particular one like this before. Denise will be there as the board president. We will see as we get notifications if, in fact, we're going to need other people there. So, they will do the site visit, and then on April the 30th, they will give us a report. And this, I'm sure this is, hey, you're either ready or you'll be ready, or here's what we're seeing. Here's what you need to make better. Now, the one little rub, just for us, I think, is the academic framework will be based on the SBAC scores. And SBAC ends in May, June. So we're going to have to respond. I don't know how quickly they're going to get stuff back to us from SBAC. So that information, I don't know how quickly they're going to get it back. And so we're going to have to respond either quickly or respond. We're going to have to respond quickly.
Can't you assume with the SBAC grade, not individual grades, but you have a pretty good sense of where we'll come out on the SBACs, I would think. Can't you write it and then just plug in the numbers?
That's what I'll do. I'll write it and then we can plug in the numbers. I want to see, I've made this fairly public. I want to see growth in reading growth targets in one grade. And I want to see math growth targets in another grade or better. I've had that discussion internally. So that is charter renewal. We'll keep you posted of what's needed. And that's it for us. Alan, did you have anything else to do?
No.
Steve or Alan? You're tag teaming in or not?
I don't know. We met until 6:30 last night, so we're both pretty familiar with these. You have, since this represents the second quarter of the year, you have the full packet of information here. In terms of revenues, most of the districts have paid, so you see that we brought in almost $900,000 in the month of December. We were supposed to have had the reconciliation of state money. I went to the meeting today. She hasn't done it. She's hoping to get it done by the middle of February. So that'll be another $1.5 million.
And that's which one?
State, the top line.
Okay. So that 3.7 should go up by 1.5 million.
Right now it's 5.228.
Okay.
And I'm just waiting until what she calls the full generation, regeneration, which means she pulls all the personnel information to pick up people whose health insurance started in December, because your health insurance you don't get for the first 3 months if you're a brand new employee to the state of Delaware. And also to make sure all levels of education and years of experience are all correct. So once she does that for us, I will go back in and I will verify that the information is correct. And if there's any errors, she'll then fix it. She did say today that they are having some issues pulling the data correctly, and that she thinks she should have it pulled by the end of the week, and if we see any problems, we'll let her know.
What's that, student data or financial data?
Personnel data.
Oh, okay.
Because it pulls from FIRST.
Okay.
And there's various places in FIRST, the personnel human resources system that they use in the state, where you put years of experience, and if you don't put it in all the places the same, it pulls from very, anyway, it's ridiculous. For this last month, we actually had a net income as opposed to losing money. Not really losing money, but no big surprises. We're right about where we should be. We should expect at this point we'd be at 50%. We're hovering right around there. But that's based on the preliminary budget numbers. Once I get the final budget numbers, we should be in much better shape. And that amount that we put in there from reserves of $191,000 should come down significantly or be eliminated completely. Because we ended up with $100,000, quite a bit more from the local than we thought we were going to have. I think $100,000 more from local, and we're above what we projected for state. So we're in pretty good shape.
Do you think, Alan, since that I guess it was a decision of the Department of Education, where they weren't going to change the rules of how much a school district can take off the top before it divides on a per capita basis. Is that making them a little more honest? Is that where the 100,000 came from,
no,
you think?
No.
They're not more any more honest?
No, that's not what I'm saying, Mr. Schell. No. We don't know, we have no clue how much they spent in fiscal year 16. So I just project based on what my best, you know, guesses are. So actually they spent more in fiscal year 16 than I thought they were going to spend, or had spent, when I put those numbers together last May. They did outline and send out to us the process coming up for what you've mentioned here. They're going to send out to the districts the list of all the things that are excluded. No, that are included in their local expenditures. The districts then get to write back and say, we want these things excluded. The Department of Education is then going to consider those and reach back out to them and say, this is what we think you can do, and give them an opportunity to argue their case. Then they're going to send to us what their final things are. So today we ask them to also include everything that the districts are excluding. So we get an opportunity to see what they're excluding, and they said they would.
So there'll be a little more transparency than there's been.
One would hope.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of the one district that we have who have exclusions of tuition, at the same monetary level as Christina School District, I would hope that at some point some citizen of that district would do a FOIA request to see what? Where all that tuition money is going.
Mm-hmm. You understand what he's saying?
No.
Cape Henlopen.
Yes.
Naisha Flesher, please come to the office. Naisha Flesher, please come to the office.
I was just going to repeat it in a different way.
Okay, go ahead.
So, in other words, Christina District, as an example, they're the district where there was a lawsuit. They have tuition of about what?
$13 million?
Yeah. $13 million, I couldn't remember. But they're a district with about 15,000 kids in
mm-hmm.
it.
Okay? Three times the size. At least
so
three times
they're
the
three
size.
Times three times the size. So one would anticipate or kind of think that if that is a legitimate tuition number for 15,000 kids, then if you had a district that was half that size, maybe you're to that half that size place would have a tuition of about half that amount.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you were one-third that size in population, then maybe yours would be one-third that. I think what Alan is saying, we have a district who that profile doesn't fit with what their tuition costs are.
Mm-hmm. And so, when you mean tuition costs, the per pupil allocation.
It's whatever
that the district pays us.
No, it's money they're paying for tuition at other institutions, organizations, districts, whatever. It's not what they're paying us, but they get to exclude that from the local funding. It's just suspect to me that it's at the same
and
monetary level.
But it's for special education kids. If they are sending, let's say they're doing they have a special school. Well, let me talk about Ennis. In the school in which we reside, Indian River money, you can see it in their budget, Indian River's money is Indian River's money, Howard Ennis's money is shown as Howard Ennis's money. And if you go in and look at how they spend their money, and you can do that, you will see that Ennis, I mean, it's astronomical compared to regular ed. So they collect money, they're getting money for that tuition money is generally for special education students that are that they're spending because they have a different kind of a placement or they have special school.
Mm-hmm. And it's excluded from local funds, meaning?
That it's not, when they come to the bottom line of how much they spend to educate the students, that's not excluded, that's not included. So it brings the amount that we get down.
Oh, I see.
Gotcha.
Brings that pot of money, of local money, down. And one of the other areas where there's no transparency is in terms, and this is one of the other charter schools who was part of the lawsuit up north mentioned today, that unless someone's looking at the behind the scenes coding that puts the money into the various buckets, you don't know what's in that bucket. They could be coding buses in that bucket of whatever. And instead of going into transportation, it's going into instructional materials if they want to code it that way. And no one is looking at those behind the numbers.
Christina was sued by New York Charter and other charters. 19 of the charters joined into the lawsuit, I think, all the upstate charters. They were sued because the amount, the deduction was, one, not clear, not transparent, but it was so high as a percentage of the total. Mm-hmm. And I think what Alan is saying is, if you look at CAPE, theirs is very high relative to the total money they got, they brought in from county taxes. There was so much deduct before you started distributing it among on a per capita basis that it's suspect.
Couldn't that be the consortium though?
It can be, but the point is they've got a special school, they got special schools in Newcastle County. Christina has 15,000 kids. All right, so their lump for tuition was $13 million.
Mm-hmm.
So one would reason, but we don't know if this is correct, but one would reason, well, if you've got a school district that's one third the size,
should be $5 million.
Shouldn't it be $5 million or $7 million? But should it be
13?
13 million? Should it be the same?
It's the second highest in the state. Or a district that's nowhere near the second largest district in the state.
So for the special ed costs for Ennis, so they're a deduct. They are a deduct before you figure the cost per student and how much goes to the charter school. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But Ennis, the difference is that Ennis, if you go in and look at their financial reports and their monthly financial reports, they are different. There's an Indian River financial report and there's an Ennis financial report.
I understand.
Okay? So it's a whole...
So they're not even a deduct. They're just separate.
Yeah. There may be some deducts.
Right.
But there are going to be deducts,
but the whole
of Ennis.
You can see how the numbers being
yeah,
figured.
Yeah,
you can see it.
And the significance of this is the last year that we had any statistics on, this school got $10,700 a kid. That was from state money and county money, or school district money, and a little bit of federal. Cape Penelope High School got $17,000 per kid. How do you do that? We get the exact same amount from the state per student, effectively. And after they do all their deducts, we get the same amount from the school district. How can there be that much difference? The difference is, and CAPE does have a reason to take some of that deduct, because they do more things than we do with special ed and so forth. But that's a huge delta.
And that does not include capital costs at all. And that $17,000 is just per student.
It goes to 20 if it's capital. I think it goes to about $20,000 if it's capital costs.
Wow.
I don't know.
I think it does.
I'm not prepared to answer that.
But it's worth this lawsuit that New York Charter and others precipitated is a great eye-opener. And hopefully with a new head of the Secretary of the Department of Education, a new governor, we're not going to do what we did last year. We're not going to, hopefully not going to do that. But we need, it's raised the visibility of this issue, and we've got to keep it alive in a nice, congenial way.
Mm-hmm.
Not for us to bash CAPE, it's for us to just ask for a fair system.
We deserve.
That's right.
I was going to point out to you on the first page, we have as a revenue, we have a new appropriation that we set up for aquatics so that we can track the expenses of running the pool. And I was going to point out that we had $71,000 in that account.
It doesn't show up there.
But now, more of my, of what we discussed last night, when we transferred the money there, and the state walked us through the process of transferring the money to that account, it actually showed up as an expense in instruction materials. So if you look on page 5, our instructional materials is now at 198,000, but that is not a correct number, and Franny is working to correct that. Somehow we are paying for things out of aquatics.
Steve Oscar, please call the office. Steve Oscar, please call the office.
And so are you saying so far we've brought in $71,000 from aquatics?
No, we transferred money into that account.
Wow, that pool was awesome.
We earmarked that amount for miscellaneous receipts. And isolated it in that fund.
Oh, gotcha.
But right now we're getting no revenue from the pool.
We are.
We are?
We are. We've got...
Because we're renting the pool out.
Yeah, we've got the Sussex...
Otters.
Sussex Community Swim Team is in there. Tuesday, Thursdays, and they have their meets in there. We have Indian River. Sussex Central, they were in during the winter break, and they want to have their meets here now because their current situations are not so great.
Right, they've got a broken pump over in Ennis.
Okay, I only saw the request for the meets, I didn't see the request for practice time.
I'm not sure if there's a request, I wondered if a request for practice was coming. Now, I think IR practices down at
Sea Colony.
Yeah.
They do.
So I don't know where IR would... Sussex Central.
What about tomorrow?
Well, we have practice in the morning, so they.
We also have in the afternoon.
Yeah, we have. But we only have 5 kids come in the afternoon. We could give them.
I mean, we could
give them, What about Delmar Christian?
One of the problems we had is that we got our pool mid-season, and these other organizations have made their arrangements elsewhere. So next year, I think we'll pick up some additional. Schools.
Mm-hmm.
We have a group coming in from Buffalo, New York in August, July or August, that want to rent the pool for the week for the practices in 3 or 4 lanes. And Maria has done a very nice job of mapping out, sort of outlining what our membership is going to look like. And we're going to start pushing that so that we can start March 1st. And one of the reasons why I wanted to shoot for March 1st was because one of the issues I have with the Y, love the Y, but in the wintertime, I can't get in the pool.
Right.
I don't want to sell memberships to people and say, oh, we've got a swim meet this day, practice this time, and give a bad taste.
Mm-hmm.
Swim season is over at the end of February. We'll have a couple of months before the otters want to come back in again, and people have an opportunity to use mm-hmm. the pool. So we've got a membership thing mapped out. We're going to be hosting a mixer for the Chamber of Commerce here on the 14th, I think, of February. It's an opportunity to introduce the membership structure to them and give them an opportunity to see the Aquatic Center.
Now, what responsibility do we have as to lifeguard when another group is in there? Let's say it's one of the schools. Do we have the responsibility, or does the school?
We give them the option.
We charge them more if...
We charge them more if they want to provide the lifeguards. But in most cases, the coaches are certified lifeguards.
Mm-hmm.
So that suffices.
But if you allow club swim, that's a little different, isn't it? I mean, you can build it into a club do, but you do is when would club people be here? There's that hours?
Where you members? Yeah.
Club members?
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, I think we're going to be trying to do like 10 or 11 hours a day, and then have nothing on Sundays.
And we would have to have lifeguards here those hours.
Yeah.
Do we have those?
We
people here, Mark?
Kristen is a certified lifeguard. We have several students who have expressed interest mm-hmm. in lifeguarding.
That'd be great.
Kristen is going next week, I think, to Pennsylvania to a Red Cross course. Where she will be able to train lifeguards.
I was just going to say, it's a question I had, is are we going to be offering that,
yeah,
particularly for our
courses.
Students?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
That's a great idea.
I think I might do it again.
Well, because right now the only option is to go to either Ennis or Salisbury.
Right.
So that would be great. There's an instructor at Ennis who has shown some interest in teaching that program here.
Lifeguard?
Well, the first course that, either the first course or first two courses that Kristen teaches, she has to co-teach with someone else who is also certified in the same.
Mm-hmm.
So Kristen is familiar with those, the staff over there, because she works there, or worked there,
mm-hmm.
I should say. And so she'll reach out to them to come over here and help us teach that course.
Great.
So, nothing of huge consequence. I will follow up on what happened with that aquatics money now that I found it does not appear to have gone into the appropriation like it was supposed to. Instead, showed up as an expense in instruction materials.
Alan, that operating supply line, it's on the same page as the instructional supply line.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remind me, what is that, the one while we've expended? Is that pool or roof?
We had to have 100,000%. Yeah. I didn't put any money in that bucket when we did this, but then we had to have two special pieces of equipment to clean and maintain the artificial turf fields. We bought snow plows for one of our tractors.
Got it.
And I will say that our parking lot was perfectly clear the day after the snow. Even though we had the 2 days off. So when you see the updated budget, Steve and I mapped out last night what's gonna happen. This is still our preliminary budget. The final numbers will go in when I have them.
Great.
And all of those will be adjusted so that they either zero out or so it won't look so skewed. Page six again goes through all of the individual appropriations we have. I will point out on page six.
Can we do page numbers sometimes so we can?
They're actually on there, but the whole punch took them apart.
In the middle.
In the middle and the bottom.
What's this one? Six. Is there seven?
Six got the whole punch took the number out. Six. That's seven. That's six.
And where was the number here?
Right over the whole punch. You hear that, Andrew?
move it, place it. Go ahead.
On the second section down the bottom one, 2016-577-41015,
mm-hmm.
Title V, Type 4 Perkins. You see that the end date of that is 1/11/117,
mm-hmm.
And we have $10,062. Well, we went to spend that $10,062, and we have been informed that $62 of it expires on 11/117.
Oh.
$10,000 of it expired on 11/30/2016. Well, I was not happy with that because nowhere does that other number show up.
Uh-huh.
This end date and this balance come directly off of the report. That's the daily validity report. Shows you how much money you have that day in each appropriation. So they are working to extend that to us till February 15th. I was told they would have it done by the end of last week, and they would get in touch with us, and we could spend it. I did not hear back from them. Franny checked yesterday. The money was not there. We have everything just stacked up, ready to go. We've already spent the money.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to recode some things and get the $10,000.
Okay, good.
What is Title IV?
It's for Career Tech, for STEM, our STEM program.
Wow.
Can
you use that money?
Yeah. And they've done a similar thing with the next section. There's another Title IV.
Mm-hmm.
They've done a similar thing. Part of that money also expires on the 17th. Part of it expires on the 18th. But we will have it all spent by 11/30/2017, just to be safe. That the one at the top started at $20,000. So why they took them? Anyway, why they would spend the first chunk of $10,000 quicker, because we don't get to pick the two where it comes from.
When you say you'll have it spent, what do you spend this on? This is programmatic stuff? Or
it's stuff for our STEM program. So this last summer we bought furniture, for the new STEM classroom that we have.
Mr. Elmer, and Mr. Crenati.
Crenati.
I understand, but is it for capital items like microscopes and robotic things?
It can be. We have to submit a grant in our grant application. I have to tell you what it's going to be used for. A lot of what you see for the 17,000 we have is going for training, because we're adding a computer programming class, and we're adding other Project Lead the Way classes that are required to have training.
The coding?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there's also fees each year for Project Lead the Way that we have to pay, and that can come out of there. Seven shows all the districts that have paid. We're still waiting for money from Delmar, Laurel, and Seaver.
Can you take us through the average standard line?
Average per student.
That's, I mean, look at that.
So they had three students.
There was no, stuff on the hand, or there's nothing we can do about that?
It's dependent upon their tax rate and how much their property's worth. I mean.
But don't they have till, what is it, November 30?
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
Don't they have a certain date to pay by? I thought it was a certain.
It was like December 31st.
Yeah, okay.
Now, we may have gotten some of these since then in January. But if we don't, I'll follow up with their business directors.
Okay.
Sounds like that happens from time to time now.
I mean, a $436 bill to us is going to get weighed out on someone's list in Delmar.
Seaford.
I'm looking at the 92,000 one. I'm like, the 436, I'm not.
I'll monitor it. If we don't have it, we'll get it.
Goodness gracious.
So, Joe, that number is the average per student.
So that's what we were talking about earlier. How much do you get from your local school district for a kid?
And then how much do you
look
get
at the difference between Lake Forest and Delmar.
Yeah.
So the tax rate in Lake Forest is huge. We need more students from Lake Forest.
Well, you can't look at it that way. That student's a very severely handicapped student.
So we got a lot of the extras for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got it.
The reality is much, much lower than that.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say Lake Forest doesn't have a high.
Yeah.
That would be surprising.
I would agree.
Yeah.
You're right.
That one you can't look at. The others you can.
Soon I'll learn how to read them.
How the special ed.
That's all recorded, you know.
Did everybody see page 8?
The last two pages are the November web report and the December web report, because we need to have approval on both of them. November is already posted as a draft report. So December really is the one that's all inclusive. Whatever's on the November one is also in the December report.
You need us to approve that?
Both of them, yes.
I move that we approve these two reports.
Do we have a second?
Yes,
I will second. Hearing no further discussion, all those
Joe
in favor?
Shell and Jen Scott.
Jen Scott seconds the motion to approve the two web reports for November and December. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So moved. Foundation update, Mr. Shell.
Okay. The foundation is meeting tomorrow, so I don't have a current run through of what we decided at the foundation meeting, but I will have that the next day. So I'm going to give my report. It's going to be more of a building and grounds report than a foundation report, but I will touch on some